I invite you to turn, please, to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans chapter 8. We'll read the verse in a little bit, and then after that we will turn away from it, but we will come back to it. This is our text, Romans chapter 8. Do you have all the answers to life's problems? Why, even a grain of truth would cause you to confess that you do not. Truth is, we not only don't have the answers, we aren't even sure of all the questions. So I submit unto you, more times than we care to admit, we have been in a quandary. Regardless of the reason for our plight, we have failed to have the answers. We didn't know which way to turn. We don't know which door to pick. We're so dumbfounded, we could barely think. Have you ever been overwhelmed by your circumstances? Did your walls of confidence come crashing in around you? Have you ever been at a loss? Where to turn? What to do? Most importantly, what does God want? Have you ever been to the place where you didn't know how to pray? In 2 Chronicles chapter 12, we find Judah was attacked by the neighboring armies of Moab and Ammon. A great multitude came against them, and King Jehoshaphat knew they were greatly outnumbered. So he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast, it says in verse 3. The king and the people came before the house of the Lord to seek God's face. The king's prayer is found in verse 6 through verse 12. The crux of his prayer and our thought for today is verse 12, and he said, and I quote, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." There is much that could be said about this passage. It could be a sermon all by itself. But I would like to notice that they were in deep trouble and they didn't know what to do. And what they did do was they came unto God and they sought His face and they looked for God to deliver them. Which, by the way, the Lord does deliver them. But anyway, notice their ignorance and their confidence in God. To me, this is a great illustration which introduces my text here in Romans 8. So let us find the solution for when we are facing a dilemma and we have few, if any, answers and we simply don't know what to do or even what to ask. My objective is to consider this subject, when you don't know how to pray. That's the title of the message, when you don't know how to pray. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for meeting with us. We thank you for those who are here. And we ask that you bless your word as it goes out. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, which you've laid upon mine to share, I pray that you would just use this word as a comfort, as encouragement, as direction and instruction. And Lord, just cause us to be found faithful. We pray for those who could not be with us due to sickness or providential hindrance. Lord, you know the needs. We commit all those before you, and your will be done there. And so we ask that you bless your word, and we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. My text is verse 26, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." When you don't know how to pray, remember this text. Now, I said that we'd be looking at a few other references. Of course, we will be coming back to this passage. But since we're talking about the issue or the subject of prayer, I thought it necessary to remind you of a few points in connection with prayer. Turn, if you would, first of all, to John chapter 14. When we think about prayer and how we want to come before the Lord, we want to talk to Him, and we offer up our prayers before Him, there are four things I want to remind you about in regard to prayer. Number one, we need to ask in His name. That is, it is for His sake. Prayer is not about us. It ought to be about God. So here in John chapter 14, we read in verse 13, Jesus says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." It's all about God, His honor and His glory. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Over in James chapter 4 and verse 3, it talks about we can ask amiss. And we pray and we ask, but we receive not because we ask amiss that we might consume it upon our own lusts. When we pray, we want to pray in the name of Jesus. It is for His sake, it's for God's honor and for God's glory. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, point number 2, I want to remind you in regard to prayer, it is this. We need to ask in accordance with His will. So when we pray, we want to pray God's will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." And so we want to pray in His name, for His sake, for His honor, for His glory. We want to ask according to His will. God, what is Your will? And that's where we come into some of the problems sometimes. We don't know what God's will is, so it makes it difficult for us to pray. Keep a finger there in 1 John, but go back to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, the third point I want to remind you in this connection of prayer is we need to ask in faith. Ask in faith. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Ask in faith. Go back then to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. The fourth point is we need to ask or make our prayers with the foundation of righteousness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight." So go back to Romans chapter 8. And so what we find is that a foundation of righteousness aids our prayers. The antithesis of this is found in Psalm 66, 18, where it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And so four brief thoughts as we come back to our passage here in Romans chapter 8. I've asked you about the matter. Have you ever been where you can't pray? Well, we think about prayer. Ask in His name, ask in accordance to His will, ask in faith, and ask with the foundation of righteousness. Back to Romans 8 then. When you don't know how to pray. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there have been many times in your life where you just didn't know how to pray. You didn't know what to ask. So He says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." What do you find here, my friend? First of all, I ask you a question. Are you weak? Are you weak? You can see at the beginning of that passage where it says the Spirit helps our infirmities. Infirmities, the word means want of strength. It is a weakness, a feebleness. It could be a bodily infirmity. The word frailty may be translated by it. It comes from the main Greek root word, which means without strength. And so it is to be weak. And so likewise the Spirit helpeth our weakness, our frailties. Here He says infirmities. And so we are without... Are you weak? Yes, you're without strength. And it could be physically. The physical ailments might overtake you and you just don't know how you ought to pray. There might be spiritual battles going on in your life. You're weak in the spiritual realm. You don't know how to pray. Temptations may come in. Temptations of many areas, but also temptation to sin. And that causes you to really not know specifically how to pray. You're so distracted. Doubts may enter. and you might not know how to pray. Troubles and trials, tribulations, the causes of this life, brings us to places where we just don't know how to face them. We don't know what to ask. We don't know how to react to these situations. I would remind you, my friend, that there are many, many, many times in, that we've been weak. The infirmities of what we have. And so we don't really know how to handle what is before us. And certainly we should not be so surprised at what we find in this life, because Jesus had told the disciples back in John chapter 16, let me share with you verse 33. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace." And he said this, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Man, this world can be tough. Be a lot of issues and causes us to really not know how to pray about those issues. I'll remind you of Psalm 103, verse 14, where it says, "For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust." Truth is, we're weak. I know we take stab at prayer, and I know we throw something out there, but a lot of times we just really don't know what to pray about that. And so, well, that's the issue, isn't it? We are weak. We do have these problems. We do, as our text says, we have these infirmities. We're weak. And so I would ask you a second question in connection with this. You don't know how to pray? And that's what the verse tells us. Because of our weakness. Notice what he says. "Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities," or our weakness. "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." We know not as we ought. We don't know how to pray. It's a simple concept, isn't it? These words that we have in the English language come from two Greek words. The first word means "according as" or "in proportion as." The second Greek word means "it is binding," or "that which is necessary," or "it is proper." That word comes from a word which means to tie, or that, and in the New Testament is that matter of binding, or that which is obligatory, an obligation. So what that means when you put those two words together is we should pray in according to, or according as, that which is necessary, or that which is proper, that which is our obligation. And so, in proportion as we know what to do, it's that which is binding. The English is fine if you understand the expression of the King James here, where he says that we know that we don't pray as we ought. You ever been to that place? I know that you have. I've been there. Don't know what to pray. You ever been at a loss for words? Something happens. You come before God and you just are almost speechless. "God, I got this burden, but I just really don't know how to express." Ever been like that? That's how we're weak. You need direction. You need the path of God. You don't know what to ask because you don't know which direction you ought to go. We'll give some illustrations along these lines, but you ever needed to know God's will? We already read that if you ask according to His will, He hears you, but sometimes we don't know what His will is. We don't know how to pray. What is the best decision? What is the best choice? What is the correct response? It makes it very difficult sometimes how to pray. Nearly 15 years ago, my mother had a heart attack after having surgery. And of course, when she was going into surgery, we prayed for her. "Lord, bless her, watch over her, protect her." Surgery went fine. After surgery, she had complications, whatever, had a heart attack. And she was oxygen deprived for about 5-10 minutes. And of course, when they found and resuscitated her, she was in a vegetative state. So now your prayer switches. We've been praying that the Lord would bless. God did bless in the surgery. We pray for recovery. She had recovery, but then all she had this heart attack. So now how you prayed about that? So we began to pray, God, what's your will here? We know you can heal her. We know you can bring her back. Most often that doesn't happen in these situations, but you can. So how do you pray about that? And my mom stayed in a vegetative state for a week. We talked to the neurologist and all those kind of things and dealt with that and had to face she had a living will. We had to face that. And she was fortunate enough, she chose my brother to apply the living will instead of me because I probably wouldn't have done it. But she had a living will, and so after, and we prayed for her the whole week, of course, we're praying diligently. But the truth is, we didn't know how to pray. Is it God's will for her to live, or should she die and go to be with Him? What's the best thing? God, what's your will? We don't know what that is. And so we were praying, God, whatever it is, if you'd be pleased to bring her back. If not, then take her. Don't let her suffer. And when they pulled the plug a week later, within 20 minutes, she was dying. Immediately, her heart went into arrhythmia, and she died very, very quickly. You say, well, God could have healed her. He could have, but He didn't. But how do you pray about that? What's the best choice? Where do you turn? And so you just have to leave it in God's hands. You say, God, this is your will. We're going to trust you with it, and your will be done. But how do you pray about that? Ever got to a place where you don't know how to pray? Family issues? Job issues? Church issues? You name it, any kind of issues, and you look at that and you go, I just really don't know what God's will is in this. I know what I want. I know what I think is best, but maybe what I think is not the best. And so you have to leave it before God. So it's difficult to pray. And I believe that there's been many times in your life where you didn't know how to pray. I've had them, you've had them, you're going to have them again, and I'm going to have them again. Truth is, life is uncertain. I'm going to look at a text over here in the book of James chapter 4 in connection with this. Life is uncertain. We know that in Proverbs chapter 27, 1. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So we don't know what's going to happen today. You say, well, I've got today handled, but you haven't got through it yet. And you might have come across a bridge sometime today where you will go, God, I really don't know how to respond to this. What is your will here? It's not easy, is it? The truth is, we're weak. And so life is uncertain, and we must appeal to His will. And so in James chapter 4, you look at verse 14. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If I shall live, I will do this or that. Lord, what is your will? Go back to our passage. There's been times where I've had opportunities for a change of vocations. Even when I came here to pastor the church, I didn't have to come. I was pastoring a church, and I was content where I was at. And I had to pray, God, what is your will? Didn't know how to pray. God, do you want me there? Do you want me here? Should I go or should I stay? And so I had to leave it open. I didn't say, God, open up the door for grace and make me go there or make me stay here. I said, God, what's your will? And so when you go through life and you face all these issues, whether it's family, physical, financial, psychological, emotional, anything that you might come across in your life, sometimes you're going to have to come before God and say, God, I just really don't know what your will is. I don't see anything in Scripture in regard to that. And so I'm going to ask according to your will. And I've in the past prayed to God, God, I've assessed this the best I know, and from everything I could tell, this is the right job, I should do this, but if it's not, stop me. We had an opportunity to buy property one time right next door to the church here, and I kept praying, God, if it's not your will, stop it. If it's not your will, stop it. If it's not your will, stop it. If it is, let it go. We didn't know how to pray. We didn't know if it was the right thing. Went through all the footsteps, all the trouble and the trial and the tribulation, went before the city council, the whole nine yards, and got done with the city council, and the lady says, I'm not going to sell it anymore. Well, that's kind of the answer, isn't it? God stopped it. So you have to learn to pray if it's your will. Whatever your will is, let your will be done. I would remind you of James 1:5, where he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. We need wisdom to approach our life and to respond to our activities and to make the decisions and be as God would have us to be. We need wisdom. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So are you weak? I believe that you're just as weak as I am. Ever got to the place where you didn't know how to pray? Yeah, I think you've been there and you'll be there again. We pray for Sister Cindy all the time that she might be healed, and she's still sick. I would love to see her healed. I told her, I said, if I could heal you, I'd come do it. I wish I could. But he doesn't give that ability to me because I would go and heal her, and he might not want that. I don't know what his plan is for her and for her family. Do you? They're just struggling through it like the rest of us, saying, God, if your will be done, please heal her and let her get along. And that's all you can do, isn't it? Because you don't know for sure. So there are times we don't know how to pray. But the good news is, you look into our passage, Romans chapter 8, and we have a helper. So when we are weak and when we don't know how to pray, we have a helper. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weakness. Because we don't know how to pray for, should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Notice that we do have a helper. The word helper in the text, or helpeth, is one who properly the word means to come along with anyone. It is to support, it is to help, or it is to aid. Do you ever try to carry say you're carrying your couch out of your house, and you got one on one end, one on the other end, and things heavy, and somebody walks in and says, hey, you need some help with that? And you go, sure. Moved a piano not too long ago, and there are three of us, and I'll tell you, I'm not moving pianos anymore. That was the heaviest thing ever. And we needed more help than three. If I'd have known that, I'd have gotten four or five, but we had what we had, and we moved what we moved, but the Spirit helps our infirmities. As you're carrying your load, and you're going through, and you just don't know how to pray, God, how do I deal with this? He comes alongside and says, want me to help you with that? Give me an edge of that. Let me take that from you. That's good, too, when you're carrying, and somebody says, let me get that for you. I'd defer to Brother Paul Jr. anytime. Because he's much bulkier than me. Sure, take it. He helps our infirmities. And I want you to know, my friend, when you're at your wit's end, and you're saying, but I just don't know what I can do, he helps our infirmities. Now, he'll explain how he helps us in just a minute, and it really makes a big difference for us. But he makes intercession for us, he says. He helps our infirmities, and he intercedes for us. Now, the good thing is, this intercession. Because when we don't know what to do, he does. You find that in the very next verse. Look at verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, we face a situation in our life, and we don't know what God's will is. So we're saying, God, we don't really know what your will is. Your will be done. But the Spirit knows the will of the Father. And so he intercedes for us according to his will. He pleads in our behalf. And you also notice that verse tells us that his offer is a very sincere offer, a very sincere supplication, because he says he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Groanings that cannot be uttered. The word groaning means that, a sighing, a groaning. That's an emotional attachment. And the words cannot be uttered. And I know some people like to twist this around and say they spoke in tongues and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't have anything to do with speaking in tongues. The Spirit of God intercedes for us before the Heavenly Father because he knows the will of the Father. And he does it with groanings and with words that cannot be uttered. And by the way, that's exactly what that means in the Greek. Cannot speak. It's a negative prefix, ah, which means you can't, and the word to babble or to speak. And so with words that cannot be spoken. And what happens here when you read this text, what you'll learn is in the midst of all of our infirmities and all of our weakness, when we don't know how to pray, and we're just pouring our heart out to God, saying, God, your will be done, we just really don't know, or we're saying this when we shouldn't be saying this, and we're asking for this when we shouldn't be asking for that, and all that, and what God does is the Spirit intercedes for us. Because of our ignorance and our weaknesses, that Holy Spirit of God will take our prayers and he'll take it before the Heavenly Father according to his will. That's what the Word of God tells me. And what I learn from that is that he either confirms our prayers or corrects our prayers. I believe that with all of my heart. And so, let's say, for instance, I decide I'm going to win the lottery. And so I say, God, I'm going to go down there, I'm going to buy me a lottery ticket, and I pray that I will win the lottery and will help the church out. I notice people like to help the church out after they win, but they won't help them out before, which means they won't help them out if they did. That's another rabbit altogether. Now, say I'm praying, God, so I go down there and waste my $2 or whatever it is, and I get this lottery ticket. I pray over the numbers, you know. I pray over the numbers. I got the sense of what I should write. So I get the numbers. I get the lottery ticket. And I'm saying, God, let me win this million. Let me win this $55 million. Let's make it better. Let me win this $55 million. And so I'm praying, God, give me this. Give me this. Give me this. And what the Spirit does is he says, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. As a preacher, you don't need to be doing that anyway. And you're not trusting me. And you're squandering your money. So you're saying, let me win. But what I'm going to do when I approach the Heavenly Father is I'm going to say, don't let him win. Which means what? I'll never win. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God that knows the will of the Heavenly Father knows that that money would ruin me and knows it would be a waste, says, I don't want him ruined, so therefore you're not going to win because it's not your will, because if you did have it, you'd be destroyed. So, and you'd shame me. You'd shame my church. So therefore, when I pray, God, give me this, God, the Spirit takes that up there before God and says, don't give it to him. See, I don't know how to pray for as I ought. I'm praying, give me, when it's not the right thing. So the Spirit changes it. I believe that. And that's why sometimes you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and you don't get it. Because God knows better. And while we don't understand, we may not agree. We may not like his decisions. I would have much preferred that my mother come back to life and get her all of her functions back and have a normal and live for another 30, 40 years. That would have been fine with me. God knew better. God knew better. And he knew better when my dad got sick and had disease and died a couple years after suffering. Did we pray for his healing? Yes. God's will be done. We didn't know how to pray. So we said, God, your will. And we leave it at that. I'm not suggesting you become a fatalist. What I am suggesting is you trust God. You take the truth of the verse and recognize that we don't always know how to pray. And sometimes we're praying for things we should have, and we're not praying for things we ought not have. We just make a mess of things if God gave us everything we ever asked for. And God will stop that. He cleans it up for us, and the Holy Spirit moves and intercedes for us. That's what the verse tells me. And so when you don't know how to pray, and we'll talk about this in just a second, you don't know how to pray, you pray what you know and let the Spirit make the intercession. I really do believe that's the answer. You ask for wisdom. God said he'd give you wisdom. You already have your answer. Just believe it. You get the text, look at it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So we'll pray wrong sometimes, or we don't know what to pray about. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. My, what a precious verse this is. So in closing, let me submit unto you, this being the truth, we find that the Spirit turns our weakness into strength. For us, it's weak. But the Spirit works on our behalf and it becomes strong. The Spirit turns our fears into faith. The Spirit turns our questions into answers. We don't know, but we say, God, what is your will? And the Spirit will intercede for us before the Heavenly Father, and He turns that into an answer. And so you get a yes, or you get a no, or you get a maybe, or wait a little while. But He turns our questions into answers, and I believe the Spirit turns our prayers into providence. God's providence will be displayed in our lives. That's what I gleaned from this. And I believe that the truth of this verse should give us several things. I believe it ought to give us encouragement to pray. You say, well, I quit praying because I just really didn't know what to say and really didn't know how to pray and didn't know what the will was, and so I just didn't say anything. I would not do that. I think this text ought to give you an encouragement to pray. I think the truth of this verse ought to give you a reliance upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, who knows the will of the Father, will intercede for you. Rely upon the Holy Spirit to do His work. I think the truth of this verse should give us confidence of the answer. And so when we got turned down by the property next door, fine. God, that's your will. You protected us from something that we thought was going to be good. It could have been absolutely horrible. And you protected us. Thank you for the answer. Trust you. You didn't spare my mom, but you know what? That's your will. We trust you. Trust you. Confidence in the answer. And I believe the truth of this verse ought to give us trust in our God. God is too wise to make a mistake, and He's too kind to be cruel. You say, well, I had this and had that, and He's not answering my prayers, and this and this and this. You got to learn to trust God. Trust God. Now, some of the things we talk about prayer, that might make a difference before, but trust God. When you don't know how to pray, trust God. And I believe the truth of this verse will give us peace in our hearts. You're crying out to God, and you have a broken heart, you don't know what to do. That's the answer God gives you. You trust God, and you have peace. Maybe it's not what I would have chosen, but that's what God has chosen, and so I have peace. I believe that through this text we learn we are limited, but we're not without help or hope. And that's the good news, isn't it? I could face the greatest trial of my life today for all I know, and I would not know how to approach it. But I know that I will not be helpless or hopeless, because the Spirit helps my infirmities, and He will intercede for me. And He will do that for you. And so I submit unto you, finally in closing, knowing this truth on prayer, from the introduction that I gave you, the background that I gave you, the review, and what we found about this verse, knowing this truth on prayer, may we, number one, be aware of His Word. If you don't know His Word, His will, how can you ask according to His will? Get into the book. See what God's will is. Learn the principles of His Word. And you'll pray better. Secondly, may we then seek His will. I am my biggest problem, and I need to seek His will, not mine. So I need to know what His Word says, and I need to seek His will. I encourage you, my friend, to do that. May this truth in prayer also cause us to pray as we know. That's really all you can do. Pray as you know. You say, well, it's dead wrong. God's never given me the positive response on that. But that's all you know. You can only pray what you know. But if you can know God's will and you understand His mind, then it's easier, isn't it, to pray? But pray as you know. And then I submit unto you, trust His promise. You say, what promise would that be? I think it's verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So I don't understand that. Well, I don't understand all about that either. What I do understand is we don't often pray the right things. We don't know how to pray, and we approach it all wrong and everything else, but God, the Holy Spirit, will work and intercede for us because He knows the will of God, and therefore we know that all things work together for good. It may not be good to me. I may not like it. I might not enjoy it, but it's working together for my good and for His honor and for His glory. And that's what He said He would do. And I know that's true because the Holy Spirit will intercede for me and help me, as well as He will help you and intercede for you. So knowing this truth on prayer, trust His promise. And finally, I submit unto you, knowing this truth, just accept it as truth. Recognize you have a helper. You have one to intercede for you. So I just want to remind you, when you don't know how to pray, you're not alone. The Spirit, your helper, is with you. So I encourage you to pray. Know His will. Respond. But many times we don't know how to pray. My comfort is right there in the truth of that verse, because I trust God, trust His Word, and I trust His Spirit to intercede for me. That keeps me from making a bunch of mistakes, because He'll change my prayer. So I don't think there's any fear at all that I'm going to win the lottery. I know that because I'll miss it by $2. I don't go put on it. But I don't have to worry about that, do I? And I think if I played it, I don't think I'd win anyway, because it would ruin me. I'm confident of it. So God just says, it's not going to happen. You get the message? Does it encourage you? Oh, I pray that it does. I pray that you get comfort from it, because life is tough. And we often don't know how to pray or where to turn, but we have a God in heaven to whom we can turn. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? God in heaven, we confess our weakness before You. Lord, we need You to intercede in our lives. We need You to protect us from ourselves, protect us from the evil of this world. And God, we pray that You would just continue to guide us and lead us and help us to find comfort in the truth of Your Word, that all things may look despairing to us, but You're in absolute control and You're not fearful, and Your Spirit will help us. Thank You so much for this truth. May we find great encouragement. May we pray. God, we commit it to You. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, brother?